Well, good morning and welcome to worship with us today on this first Sunday morning. I want to remind you that at the end of the sermon, we will be celebrating the Lord's Supper today. So I want to give you an opportunity, if you have not already gotten your bread and your juice, we want to give you an opportunity to do that now so you'll be ready for communion. Father, we thank you so much for another beautiful Lord's Day, first Sunday of the month, and we're just so grateful, God, as we focus our attention on your table. Open our hearts and our minds that we will hear wonderful things from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. On the first Sunday morning, our text will be coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. And the text reads from the New King James Version. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. I want to preach today from the subject revelations from the table. Revelations from the table. And that is, each time we come to the Lord's table, there are some things that God reveals to us. And that's what I want to talk about today, revelation from the table. Today is our custom. At the Good Hope Missionary Baptist Church, we celebrate communion on the first Sunday of the month. Excuse me. The supper is an ordinance or a directive given by the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, in obedience to him, we are not functioning out of tradition, but we are functioning out of an ordinance, a command that Jesus gave us to do. He told us to do this. And so in obedience to him, we follow his official authoritative instructions. So here we are this morning in obedience at the table. And while in this sacred space, while we are in this sacred space, this sacred time, this time of reverence and focusing on the table, I want us to look at three revelations that arrest our attention this morning at the table. The first revelation from the table is explanation. Explanation. That's our first revelation from the table. Verse 24 of the text states, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Now, Jesus and his disciples are there, and they're at the table, and Jesus takes the bread, and he tells his disciples, he breaks it, and he tells his disciples to eat this bread, which is broken for you, and do it in remembrance of me. The explanation by Jesus at the table is that he was the Passover lamb. That's the explanation right there at the table. When he took that bread, he broke it, he gave it to his disciples. The explanation is that he is the Passover lamb that takes away the sins of the world. Now, the explanation by Jesus would have been readily understood by his disciples. And so he goes into it. Now, in 1 John 1:29, John the Baptist gives the same explanation at the table that Jesus gives. Jesus says, this is my body, is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. John 1:29, John the Baptist gives the same explanation. When he sees Jesus coming towards him, this is what John says. He says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Then the very next day, in verse 35, John 1:35, John the Baptist was standing with two of his disciples. And he sees Jesus walking by, and he explains the mission and the mandate of Jesus as the Messiah, saying, "Behold the Lamb of God." Right there, "Behold the Lamb of God." John is explaining that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. His mission, his mandate, his ministry is to be about saving the world. In Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 7, the prophet explains who Jesus is. He wrote, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement for our peace is upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." Watch this. "And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth." That's the prophet Isaiah's explanation of who Jesus is. Jesus explained it at the table. John the Baptist explained it to his disciples. And Isaiah explained it in his prophecy concerning who Jesus is. So it was at the table with his disciples that night, that fateful night when Jesus would be betrayed. At the table, Jesus explained what he had already shared with his beloved disciples. Now, he had already told them before. He'd already revealed who he was. But that night, he put it in concise form at the table. That explanation of who he was to his beloved disciples was that his body would be beaten, battered, and bruised. His body would be nailed to the cross at Calvary as the atoning sacrifice for the salvation of sinners. Now that's the explanation right there. Just in those verses at the table, that's the explanation of who Jesus is. But there's more to the explanation. First, he talks about his body. Now in verse 25, Jesus says, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Now he's going deeper in his explanation of who he is. Now the disciples would have understood Jesus' explanation because they were well aware of the old covenant, of the Old Testament covenant. That's what they grew up under. That's what they knew. So when Jesus said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood," they would have immediately understood that there was going to be a difference between the old covenant and the new covenant. They would have understood Jesus' explanation because they were well aware of the Old Testament covenant. Under the old covenant, you Bible readers understand it. You've been reading it now. We're on our second year of Good Hope Missionary Baptist Church family, reading through the Bible together and meeting small groups, and you're learning. You would have seen this. But under the old covenant, the blood of animals was used for the atonement or to pay for sin. The priests would sacrifice animals on behalf of the people. When the people sinned, or when the priest sinned, when the people sinned, they would get an animal, and the priest would sacrifice that animal, and the blood of that animal was accepted by God as the payment covering the sins of the people. This process of animal sacrifice and animal bloodshed for the payment of sin, you remember from your Bible reading, was done over and over again. And so as the people sinned, animals were slaughtered, animals were killed, and the blood was used as an atonement for the sins of the people. But when God sent Jesus, God sent Jesus, his one and only son, to pay the sin debt of flopping, floundering, faltering, and failing humanity, the deal was done. Let me say that again. When God sent Jesus to die on the cross, to shed his blood for the sins of the world, the dealing was done. No more animals, no more shedding of blood. One time, once and for all, Jesus paid it all. That's why the hymn writer wrote, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed white as snow. In other words, the hymn genius is saying that Jesus paid it all. There are no more sacrifices. Nothing that you can do to earn salvation. Nothing you can do to make yourself worthy. It's all about the blood of Jesus Christ. No works, no keeping of the law, no duties, none of that. The only thing that saves is the precious blood of Jesus. And the beauty of it is, it's a one-time deal. It would be like someone paying your last car payment, or even greater than that, someone paying your mortgage off. They say you had a 30-year mortgage and you were just in it for 4 months or 5 months or 6 months, and then someone came along and graciously paid it off. You would never have to write another check to the mortgage company. It's paid in full. The property would be yours. Well, that would be a great deal, wouldn't it? But what Jesus did on the cross to save sinners is a far greater deal. Because someone paid your mortgage off, that's down here. But what Jesus did for us on the cross is about salvation now. It is about salvation in the future. It sets the stage for the future. It sets the stage so that when we meet God face to face, our sin debt, if we have trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior, would have been paid. In fact, nothing can compare to the precious blood of Jesus shed to save sinners. So at the table, Jesus explains that his blood shed on the cross will be the one and only sacrifice that you would ever need, and it will be the one and only sacrifice that God will accept as payment for sinners and for sin. So from the table, Jesus explains that all who follow him should eat the bread and drink the cup in remembrance of him, and in so doing, don't forget about his life. Don't forget about his death. Don't forget about his burial. Don't forget about his resurrection. And don't forget about his second coming. The first revelation from the table is by explanation. But the second revelation from the table is proclamation. Proclamation. Look at verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Paul, in this text, is admonishing. He's admonishing believers in the Lord Jesus Christ not to be secret agents. That's what he's doing. He's instructing the church. He's admonishing believers not to be secret agents concerning your relationship with Jesus Christ. Not to be silent concerning your relationship with Jesus Christ. Rather, Paul is encouraging the church, the ecclesia, the called out community, those who have trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior. Paul is calling upon the church, the people of God, those who have trusted in Jesus Christ, to say so. Well, Psalm 107 is known as a psalm of thanksgiving. It is known as a psalm of thanksgiving to God for his great works of deliverance. In Psalm 107, verses 1 through 3, the psalmist says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord for his mercy endures forever. Here it is. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. In other words, those who know God for themselves say so. The psalmist is saying, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Verse 3, those whom he has redeemed from the east and from the west. That's the potency. That's the power. That's the position. That's the proclamation. We as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ ought to say so. We ought to say so. Particularly now, in the war-torn, strife-filled, confused world in which we live, people need to hear born-again believers in Jesus Christ say so. And they need to hear us say so with our lips as well as with our lives. Well, let me put it like this. If you are blessed, thrilled, enthusiastic, ecstatic about who Jesus Christ is in your life, you ought to say so. If you are grateful, if you are thankful, if you are outright moved, motivated, and mesmerized by Jesus and what he has done for you and how he's moving in your life, you ought to say so. 6 o'clock every weekday morning, beginning around 5:45 to about 6:15, we're on the line, the prayer line, and we're calling in and we get a meditation from the word of God and we get prayer. But part of that, which is so exciting, is that we've seen God do miracles, signs, and wonders. We've seen God. We've prayed and we've seen God heal people. We've seen God work situations out. And the good thing about it is Good Hope Missionary Baptist Church members don't mind saying so. When you talk to a Good Hopian, they don't mind telling you what the God has done for them. They don't mind telling you that God has healed their body, that God has worked out a difficult situation, that God has opened doors for them. They don't mind saying so. So when you're moved and motivated and mesmerized by what Jesus has done for you and what Jesus is doing for you, the text tells us that we ought to say so. There ought to be some proclamation in our relationship with God and with each other. Here it is, y'all. Here it is. And when you mesmerized by what Jesus is, and all he's done for you and how he saved you and how he delivered you and how he guides you, provides for you, protects and prospers you, you ought to say so. We're better off now, many of us, than we've ever been in our lives. We're living larger. We're riding larger. We're eating larger. We're doing all of those things. We ought to say so. God has been good to us. Listen, God, when we look at how he gives you joy and peace and how he lifts you up when you're down, how he picks you up when you fall, how God has opened doors that have been closed in your face and closed doors that you had no business walking through. When you look at how good God has been, I'm here to tell you, you ought to say so. Yeah, you ought to say so. God has been good to us. Listen, every time you turn around, he's making a way. When you think about Jesus, when you think about Jesus and all he's done for you, you should tell everybody, everywhere you go, that God has been good to me. You ought to say so. But I don't mind telling you how God, good God, has been to me. How he brought me through what people call a broken home. How he took care of me while I roamed the streets of Columbia, South Carolina, late at night with my thuggish friends. How he blessed me to be the first one in my immediate family to graduate high school. How he blessed me with a beautiful, godly wife and children and a granddaughter. I don't mind saying so. God has been good to me. How God saved a poor, wretched, decrepit, disgraceful sinner like me, and even now uses me to shepherd, pastor one of his best churches, Good Hope Missionary Baptist Church. I don't mind saying so. God has been good to me. Well, when I think about the goodness of Jesus, all he's done for me, I can't help it, y'all. I can't help but say so. God has been good to us, and we ought to say so. That's the proclamation from the table. Tell it everywhere you go. On your job, tell somebody. In your home, tell somebody. On your Facebook page, tell somebody that God has been good to me. Well, the third revelation from the table is explanation. Explanation. Verses 27 through 28 states, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a person examine him or herself and then eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Paul says, when you come to the table, check yourself. That's what he's saying. When you come to the table, check yourself. Check yourself. Don't play games at the table. And I'm telling you, y'all, times are critical now. Times are crucial now. Times are chaotic and confusing. Game plan days are over. That's what Paul is saying. When you come to the table, don't come playing games. Don't come faking it, trying to make it. Paul says, come as an empty pitcher before a full fountain. Come exposed to God. Examine yourself. Examine yourself. Paul says, when you come to the table, be real with Jesus. Be real with Jesus when you come to the table. When you come to the table, be real with yourself and be real with others. And here it is, y'all. If you're not saved, confess your sins right now and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It doesn't make any difference how long you've been in the church, around the church, what Grandma and them used to do, how saved they were. If you are not saved today, the text is calling you to examine yourself. If you're not saved, accept Jesus Christ as your Savior today. And if you are saved and you're out of fellowship with Jesus and his church, confess your sins, turn away from your sins, and commit to live a life in total submission to the word, the will, and the ways of God. And y'all, this excites me because the beauty of self-examination is this. You have to be concerned about anybody else examining you. That's not what Paul is talking about. You have to be concerned about anybody else judging you. The only person that can judge you is God. So Paul is saying that this examination here is between you and it's between God. And the beauty is God gives us an opportunity to make whatever wrong in our lives to make it right. That's the beauty of God. He will give us an opportunity. If something is wrong and you know it's wrong, come to the table today and make it right. No matter what it is, just between you and God. Do business today with God and make it right. Right now, right here in this very space, let each of us, as called upon by the text, examine ourselves before God and God alone. And if we should find something that's not right, let's make it right today. God is waiting. If you're here today and you never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, let this revelation from the table speak to your heart today. You might want to pray something like this. Lord, I know I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Today I'm confessing my sins. I'm turning away from my sins. This bad situation, man, I'm getting out of it. This relationship that's not right in your life, I'm getting out of it. Give me strength, God. If it's not right in your life, I want you. And today I'm inviting Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior. If that's you today, welcome to the family of God. We encourage you to connect with a Bible-believing church someplace where you can grow and develop your relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus, with his disciples, he took bread and broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let us eat together. Likewise, he took the cup, saying, This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Let us drink together. God, we thank you today for the revelation from the table. And God, we just praise you for who you are and what you do. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may he grant you his peace. In Jesus' name, amen.